This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off-Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guests today represent two activities in Maryland, Walt Townsend of the Baltimore-Washington Corridor Chamber and Patrick Wynn of the Howard Tech Council. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Walt, kick us off here. Tell us about you and Baltimore-Washington Corridor Chamber, please.
Well, Mark, I've been at the Chamber now for 24 years. It's been a great ride. Lots of things going on over my time there. Basically, we're a chamber that's concentrated on the area between Washington and Baltimore, thus the corridor. And I tell people we help grow businesses and we help solve problems. Those are two key aspects through a number of activities, events, programs, processes, consulting, you name it, we do it. And as I say, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and for the last couple of years, I have to thank you for inviting me to do the pre-event speaking for your upcoming 20th annual procurement.
Actually, 22nd, yeah, 22nd, yeah. And thank you so much for being there. It's you always do a great job.
Well, you know, it's always nice to talk to small businesses and tell them how to talk to the government, rather than going expecting saying, "I'm a small contractor, give me a contract."
Right?
Doesn't work that way. Patrick, who are you? What do you do?
I run the Howard Tech Council. We're part of the Howard County Economic Development Authority, which the CEO is Larry Tweel, and a subset of that is the Maryland Center for Entrepreneurship. The Howard Tech Council is one of three components of the Maryland Center for Entrepreneurship. The other two include the Innovation Catalyst, which is a very vibrant incubator community located in Columbia, Maryland. The other is our Business Resource Center, which includes Small Business Development Corporation. We also have SCORE, and we also have PTAP, which helps contractors understand and give them guidance in the federal procurement process.
Is that part of the University of Maryland PTAP?
It absolutely is.
Okay.
So what the Howard Tech Council is designed to do, and everything we do is within the mission of the Economic Development Authority, and that's to help companies start, grow, or reload into Howard County. We want to be at the epicenter for the innovative technological ecosystem. And we've been very busy for a little bit more than the last year building out a platform for engagement, collaboration, learning, and leading for this innovative technological ecosystem.
Cool. Walt, I've only been peripherally involved with BWCC. I'm a member of Howard Tech, but the scope of what you do at BWCC is a lot broader than simply technology. Give us a little feel for the breadth of the scope, the type of members, and including the one that you mentioned to me before we started recording.
Now, we have quite a diverse membership. It includes large governmental agencies, and you were asking about the one that's been now a member for over 20 years, the National Security Agency. We were the first chamber that they ever joined. We follow the 80-20% rule. 80% of our businesses are small and medium-sized. The 20% are the larger corporations with many thousands of members. We've been very entrepreneurial over our time of existence. We started the first highway information centers in Maryland. We started the first employment and training center, which is now the precursor for the one-stop shops, which are ubiquitous across the state and the country. And we also, for 22 years, ran America's only chamber-run regional transit system. So we see problems. We help to solve them. We're very proud of the fact that for 7 years now, we've done electric purchasing cooperatives. We've saved businesses, municipalities, churches, synagogues, others, millions of dollars in costs for electricity and natural gas. We also have a program with the Detroit Regional Chamber for Office Depot, significant discounts that are available to the employees of companies. So it's an unpaid benefit for employers and employees.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's got kids to go to school.
That's right. And a lot of work in advocacy. We were very active in the stormwater management issue and testifying before county councils and working with other lobbyists to understand the process and its impact on businesses.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about the upcoming annual procurement event.
Yeah, it'll be a great day. That's at Martin's Crosswinds on the 20th of November from 8 in the morning until midday. Mm-hmm. And we'll have as many as 50 federal, state, and local agencies on hand and their procurement officials. They usually bring at least two for each agency. Plus, in addition to that, we'll have some breakout sessions and one-on-one matchups where businesses will actually be able to talk with a procurement specialist about particular issues that they have.
For virtually all of those 50 agencies.
Right. And we also are very pleased that MGM, Resorts International, is a prime sponsor for this event, and they'll be there. And of course, as you know, if they win the bid to build that $800 million plus facility, there'll be a lot of opportunities for small and minority businesses.
Okay, cool. And where can people find information about this event?
Probably the best place is our website, www.bwcc.org. And or they can give us a call at 301-725-4000, and we'll be happy to help them.
Okay. Patrick, I am a member of the Tech Council, Howard Tech Council. I've been a member for a little over a year now. There are now 12 special interest groups as part of HTC. Give us an idea of the breadth and depth of the types of activities that people can find at HTC.
So being focused on the innovative entrepreneurial tech community in Central Maryland, we want to provide a platform for folks to learn and to share ideas. So for a great example would be a government contractor where the fellow who starts the organization is a great engineer and he wants to grow his company, but he really hasn't developed CEO-type skills. So we actually have leadership development roundtables as well as emerging company roundtables. We've got sales and marketing roundtables that are not for sales and marketing professionals. They're for business owners. And the idea is to understand the concepts of branding, digital marketing, as well as automation tools for marketing campaigns and managing customer data, as well as Salesforce automation. We also have some affinity groups that really lend themselves well to our area. Probably the one that we got up the fastest since I had come on board was the Howard Tech Council Hackett group. Hackett was coined by Lily Bankford, and it stands for Howard County Affinity for Cyber Knowledge and Intelligence Talks. We provide a platform for organizations both dealing with the federal government, so the IC specifically, as well as those who may be engaged in critical infrastructure. You know, 80% of the critical infrastructure in the United States is owned by the private sector. So we provide a platform for folks in that business or those who need those services to get together on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm.
Very vibrant community. We usually get a full house at our conference room in Columbia for the monthly events. Yeah, this month coming up is actually, we're going to have a little bit of fun with it. Our Hackett Leadership is going to hold a speaker panel called Tales from the Crypto. Story's so scary, it'll scare the candy corn out of you. So
there you go.
We're excited about that. And Mark, you've been involved in the launch of one of the most recent affinity groups, and that's our B2G group. At the Howard Tech Council, community means a lot to us, and one of the subsets of our community are federal contractors, and we wanted to make sure that there was a focus specifically on their needs. So last month we had the launch of our B2G Affinity Group, and it started off as a networking event, and I really like the setup. By the way, folks in the council are members, and the members lead these groups. So I don't set the agenda. I don't set the mission of the particular groups. As long as they're in alignment with what our goal is at the HTC, we give a wide berth as to what folks can do. I'm really pleased with what the B2G group leadership's doing. A networking event 1 month, then there's a closed door contractors only roundtable, sort of a cone of silence, non-attribution, sharing ideas, sharing stories, trying to figure out the challenges that these contractors are facing, especially in the rough times today. And then the last month of the quarter, it'll be an educational series. So we try to keep members of the BGG community up with, trends, expanding their knowledge base and providing connectivity to thought leaders in the community.
Okay. We're going to take our first break. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Back after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. In case you missed it, my guests today are Patrick Wynn of the Howard Tech Council in Maryland, Central Maryland, and Walt Townsend of the Baltimore-Washington Corridor Chamber. Patrick, give us a quick rundown of the various tech councils. If you haven't figured it out, folks, this show is going to be Maryland-focused. Because we are the center of the universe. did you hear that, Virginia? Throw whatever you want. anyway, give us a rundown of the various tech council activities throughout the state, please.
Well, and this is from my perspective. I am not speaking directly on behalf of any other tech councils in the state. But we have a very, very vibrant technology set of communities in Maryland. And in many cases, we are verticalized or siloed by industry type in the different areas of the state. Now, let's go up to the far northeast corner of Maryland. There is a Northeast Maryland Tech Council. It's led by John Kastner. They have a very strong STEM initiative up there. They work closely with contractors at Aberdeen, as well as obviously at the Edgewood Arsenal as well. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to see a lot of science and math and folks that are intrigued by things going on up in that area. And if you go to the westernmost part of Central Maryland, you'd be looking at the Tech Council of Maryland. Tech Council of Maryland has been around for many years. They have one of the largest membership bases in the state, and they have two parts to it. There's MD Bio, which they are a very strong voice for biotech.
The 270 corridor.
It is, yeah. It really is, yeah. It's they're the voice for bio in the state of Maryland, and then they have their tech council as well. What I like about them is their strength and their leverage in Annapolis. Not all the tech councils in Maryland can lobby. As a matter of fact, the Howard Tech Council can't. TCM does. And Brian Levine, who heads up their legislative services, is their point person in Annapolis, and they do a fine job. In Baltimore, it's the Greater Baltimore Technology Council, or as those in our industry call it, the GBTC. They are one of the older, more established tech councils in the state. Jason Hardebeck is their executive director, and he has really changed the paradigm in Baltimore and flipped the GBTC from a traditional tech council model into one that really celebrates the innovative technological ecosystem, specifically in Baltimore. They're doing great things in ed tech and some other initiatives. I'm a big fan of what they're doing. And in Annapolis, there's the Chesapeake Regional Tech Council, which is a growing, thriving organization. Chris Schock is the executive director. They, too, can lobby, and they're starting a lobby group within the organization. This is new to them. I wish them great success. We're working on collaborative layers across all the tech councils in the region. And I don't want to leave out one of my favorite tech councils is the Carroll Tech Council. I don't think that there is a tech council in the state that embodies community as much as they do. You know, when I first started with the Howard Tech Council about a year and a half ago, I was looking for an exemplar for a tech council that I wanted to model after. And I think although they're small, not quite the same size and depth of technology as takes place in Howard County, I really embraced their sense of community, and I modeled the Howard Tech Council initiatives off of the Carroll Tech Council.
Okay, I'd be remiss if I didn't say when you took over the Howard Tech Council, there were literally a handful of companies that were members, and at this point, you're pushing nearly 200.
Yeah, we're getting close to 200. The key is, and it's been incredible growth, and I think that the focus of really serving the needs of the community and being that connective tissue, and, you know, Columbia is, from a business community perspective, there's a lot of business parks. Your potential partner, your potential investor, your potential client could be across the parking lot from you. You have no idea. We considered ourselves really, once again, that connective tissue that that really brings this innovative technological ecosystem together.
Okay. Well, your organization has a much broader function, if you will, in the BW corridor. So number one, it's not statewide. It is literally from Baltimore to Washington. So you straddle what, 5 counties?
Yeah, pretty much. Anne Arundel, Howard, Montgomery, Prince George's, Baltimore County.
But you know, the intriguing thing is that you do have government members of the corridor chamber.
We do, and I think that's very important. Obviously, they're one of the largest purchasers of goods and services throughout the region. But also their employees make up much of the quality of life. If you think about it, the National Security Agency with 25,000 plus employees, how many PTAs, schools, school fairs, other things that they're involved and invested in. Not only that, I think they contribute 1/3 of all the blood donated in the capital region. So very significant impact on lots of different types of events, activities, and businesses.
There are those of us in Clarksville and Highland that get blood.
Right.
Saturday.
So during my tenure, really made a concerted effort to bring those agencies into the fold, and we've been able to develop a lot of complementary assistance. I'll give you a quick example. Back when they built the National Wildlife Visitor Center, they were a mile and a half off the road, a $13 million facility, but they
needed a
water.
It's a beautiful facility, by the way.
They needed a water line. Fortunately, about a year before that, I'd had the Washington Suburban Sanitary Commission actually take their leadership over, take a tour of Patuxent, which is the oldest and largest wildlife research facility in America, and they had a great time, learned a lot. Found out things that they could utilize. And so when it came time to build this visitor center and they needed a water line, I also knew that WSSC was looking to site a water tower, which is very difficult to do in a community, as you might imagine.
Yeah.
So each had a need. So
not
put
in
them
my
together,
backyard.
And now there's a water tower on a federal preserve. And so everybody's interests were served. So it's really been things like that that we've been able to do.
The master facilitator.
Well, we love to connect people and
well,
businesses.
Well, you know, and you do it well. You do it well. is Fort Meade going to be at the procurement fair?
Yes.
We going to have matchups with Fort Meade?
Hopefully so, yes.
I hope people are listening to that. That doesn't happen quite as frequently as one might hope. So, but you know, have your forms in order because you know you don't show up that day and get the meeting. You got to register now, and some of those are probably filling up as we speak, right?
Yeah, we're as I say, this will be our 22nd year, and it's grown each year. We started out at the University of Maryland University College Inn and Conference Center with probably about 12 agencies and. 50 or 75 people in attendance our first year. So it's grown dramatically. Our concern at this point is how long this federal shutdown is going to last, because as you can imagine, many of those folks who are in business development for the various agencies have been furloughed. And so when they get back, there'll be a lot of things that they need to get done. So
right. And while they're off, they cannot act in an official capacity.
They cannot, right.
So you're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, back after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guests today are Patrick Wynn of the Howard Tech Council. Give me your URL real quick, Patrick.
Sure, Mark. We're at www.howardtechcouncil.org.
Cool. And Walt Townsend of BWCC, the Baltimore-Washington Corridor Chamber. Walt, give us your URL, and then I got a question.
www.bwcc.org.
Okay, thank you. So we're taking a drive up Route 1 from Washington to Baltimore. You said this during the break, and I know it's true, but it always boggles my mind. Biggest industry in Maryland is what?
Agriculture.
And when you start driving up Route 1, you get past College Park, you hit the National Agricultural Laboratory, the library. What's this really mean to the state? What's going on here? What's it mean to the world?
The National Agricultural Library is one of four national libraries, so it is the world's repository of information about agriculture and all things related to agriculture.
I've been in it. It's very cool.
So it's actually started by President Lincoln. And so it's quite a facility, but right adjacent to it is the Beltsville Agricultural Research Center, which is the largest and most diversified agricultural research center in America. Lots of incredible things that are taking place there. I really think it's an unsung part of Maryland's infrastructure. And a lot of things which people don't think about. They're doing research on remote sensing of crops and water in the soil and all that sort of thing. And that really kind of ties in with what else Maryland is working on, and that is competing to be a drone test facility in the country. And, of course, a lot of drones now are being used in agricultural applications.
Which surprises the heck out of me.
Yeah. And when you think about it, those that are CIA and others who are looking at evaluating other countries and their economic systems, if they can predict a drought or know exactly what their crop yields are going to be, whether there's going to be turmoil in the country, all that kind of thing. So it's great stuff.
Cool. And let's drive a little further down Route 1, past the agricultural stuff, off the parkway. Actually, we've got the facility off Powder Mill.
Goddard Space Flight Center.
Well, Goddard Space Flight Center, that little thing. And then just past Goddard, we have the interior facility.
Tucson Wildlife Research
yeah.
Center.
My wife, by the way, actually started her federal career there.
Well, so. And here again, America's bald eagle was brought back from near extinction by research that was done there. And, of course, Rachel Carson's Silent Spring, much of that research was included in her book.
Mm-hmm.
And they have about 20% of the world's extant population of the whooping crane, which is another interesting story. And they're doing research. They have the only dive tank facilities for the Scoter ducks, which are deep sea ducks that can dive up to depths of 100 feet. So they're losing that population and want to understand why. So with that research, they have viewing portals. You can actually see the ducks as they dive and how they select their food and how they propel themselves, all being studied there.
Okay. Going a little further, we have NSA. We already touched on NSA driving into Baltimore. I don't know if either of you guys know this or know what it means. Baltimore is a federal executive board city. There are 28 federal executive boards in the country, all focused on a major metropolitan area that has a very significant occupancy of federal agencies. And it's not because of the proximity to DC, it's because Baltimore is a repository for Lord knows, you know, I can only name a half a dozen or so. And I've been doing this for 30 years. You know, CMS, Social Security, Coast Guard, Navy, you know, on and on. Right. How much federal activity do you see there, and are all of them going to be at the fair?
Well, we want to have as many as we can, but for any of these things, it's building a relationship with people, and we're always attempting to reach out to the Corps of Engineers, help them promote activities. In early November, they'll be having a forecast of the big $10 billion spend that they're going to have.
Is that one of the things that Tamika will help you with? Is she still over there?
I think she is.
Okay.
So we try to cross over working with various agencies and individuals. We work with the BBI, which was initially named the BRAC Business Initiative. Now it's the BASE Business Initiative. And that's an effort to really help businesses assimilate some of the opportunities that are available in the greater Fort Meade area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of our strategy, is to be information curators. A lot of information here. Internet's a great source, but you still need somebody to help process all that's coming out.
Yeah. My daughter goes to school in Salisbury, so I drive over there occasionally. And driving out 50, there's a number of agricultural research facilities on that shore as well. So it really does spread out. And the use of technology, you know, not just the drone technology, but a variety of information technologies in agriculture, has really helped fuel the practical application of IT in our state. Patrick, when you're driving around, how, you know, I want to know what that facility is off Bendix, not far from the offices, but we'll talk about that offline. big fence, guarded gate.
Use your imagination.
Yeah, I know.
You're probably right.
But you know, we have a lot of the employees of all of these agencies in Howard, but we don't have a lot of their offices per se. What we have started growing, though, are those smaller companies, several of which, many of which, are members of HTC, the companies locating themselves in Howard. And before the break, talk about the one biggie that recently migrated to our environs.
So back in the spring, I was asked to engage with some other folks within the Howard County Economic Development Authority in an incentives meeting for a company that had shortlisted Maryland along with Texas and Colorado as the new federal headquarters for their company. The company's Accuvant. They provide outsource security operation centers for both the commercial and the federal sector. And my background has been in business development a lot in the cyber world, and there was a cyber organization I helped build out that was a membership group that went from two small chapters to about 10 chapters up and down the East Coast that became pretty successful. So I knew these folks. I knew their competitors. I was brought into the meeting to talk about the strength of Howard County and Central Maryland and why we would be of great benefit to them. You take a look at our school system. It's one of the top school systems in the country. We've got one of the highest per capita incomes in the country. We've got one of the most advanced degrees per capita in the country. And it's a highly educated, strong workforce that is focused on a lot of the same things that they're focused on. We are the cyber corridor of the United States. And I recall talking to their executive vice president of special projects, and said, listen, if you don't come here, you're making a big mistake, because you're going to receive not only the support that you need from our community, but you're going to have access to talent and innovation like no place else in the country. So, you know, that's a little bit of what we've got going on. I'm in alignment with the mission of the Howard County Economic Development Authority. I was leveraged as the director of the Howard Tech Council to help with a special project. It came to fruition. They're going to be adding, I think it's a couple hundred jobs within the next 2 years. They're already beyond their original estimates. And You know, everything that they had thought would happen or that we promised would happen has happened and then some. And they've been with us for maybe 90 days.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Boy, more and more. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, back after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. Again, my guests today are Patrick Wynn of the Howard Tech Council, howardtechcouncil.org, and Walt Townsend of the Baltimore-Washington Corridor Chamber of Commerce, bwcc.org. Patrick, what's next on the agenda for you guys?
Well, each one of our affinity groups and roundtables holds meetings at least monthly. A couple of the highlights I'd like to give. On October 22, the Howard Tech Council B2G will be holding its second meeting of the quarter, and that will be a roundtable that's only for government contractors. And as an outreach, you do not have to be a Howard Tech Council member to attend this, but you do need to be a government contractor. The focus is going to be the problems that contractors face as a small and medium-sized business or as an SMB, and how are those problems manifest? And the focus is primarily going to be to the C-level leaders of those particular organizations. So mark that on your calendar. Once again, you can go to our website, howardtechcouncil.org, and you should be able to register there. On October.
Oh, by the way, there's limited seating for that, so do it.
Right,
soon
it is,
if you're
it
coming,
is capacity yeah. controlled. We have a wonderful room with incredibly comfy chairs, and there'll be some light nosh. But the key is sign up early, so you can secure a space. On October 23, if you want to get a sense of the Howard Tech community, we hold our monthly networking event. Typically we hold it the third Tuesday of the month. We're holding it the fourth Wednesday of this month. And that's October 23rd at Union Jacks in Columbia. It's usually about 110 of our closest friends get together for a couple hours of idea sharing and socialization in the community. We say it goes from 5 to 7, but a lot of times we don't wrap up until 9:30, 10 o'clock at night because it's still cooking. It is still cooking. It's engaging. So I think that's a good sign for the strength of the community. Once again, on October 24, that's a busy week, is our Hackett. That's the Howard County Affinity for Cyber Knowledge and Intelligence Talks. That's our cyber group.
It's the Black Hats, folks.
Exactly. Tales from the Crypto. Yeah, stories to scare the candy corn out of you. So we hope that, you know, if you are one who needs cyber, or if you're a cyber contractor, if you want to be brought up to date on some of the scary stories that some of the top practitioners, not only in the region, but in the country, have faced, this would be a great event for you. You can, once again, sign up online at howardtechcouncil.org.
Okay. Walt, you have a few events coming down the pike?
Yeah, Mark, probably too many, but like to go over some of those. Of course, everybody can go to our calendar of events on our website, which is www.bwcc.org. But coming up, we have a Talent Seekers, which is our HR directors who get together and share best practices of how to recruit and retain talent. We have a networking business mixer and showcase that'll take place at Dave & Buster's at Arundel Mills, and this is also a little mini showcase. So business out there wants to have a tabletop display and be able to showcase what they do. Be a great spot to do that. On October 24th, our multi-chamber networking breakfast in Crofton.
Multi-chamber.
Multi-chamber, about 7 or 8 different chamber organizations.
Counties.
County and local chambers.
Cool.
Right. And our small business advisory group, which is actually our peer-to-peer. Those are business owners who come together. Everything's confidential, but they're able to share with one another their practices and ideas, challenges, and how others are solving those. We have this wonderful speaker on November the 6th, a guy by the name of Mark AmTower, who's going to be doing the pre-procurement program for us up in Columbia at the Homewood Suites. And thank you, Mark, for doing that each year for us. We
you
really
bet.
Appreciate it.
I jump over to Costco when I'm done.
We have opportunities for people to develop their networking skills. It's called Go From Awkward to Awesome. That'll be on November the 7th. We're actually having the mayor of Baltimore, Stephanie Rawlings Blake, who will kick off our Women in Business program this year. She'll be up at Overhill's Mansion with a wonderful program, a luncheon program, and of course, the inimitable Enerbon Basu, a well-known regional economist who will be giving his annual economic forecast. He's our economic advisor for the chamber, and so he'll be doing that at the Maritime Institute in Linthicum Heights on November the 13th. And of course, as I mentioned before, our big 22nd annual Baltimore-Washington Regional Government Procurement Fair at Martin's Crosswind in Greenbelt. That'll be on November the 20th. And even more things that are coming up. So, as I say, call us at the chamber or check out our website, and we'll be happy to help anyone who calls or comes online.
Okay. Patrick, some final thoughts, invitations to join the council?
The first Friday of every month, we hold our membership 101 session. It kind of gives a broad...
Which is very cool.
Thank you. And thank you for participating, Mark, in that. I appreciate it. It gives a pretty strong overview of all the affinity groups, roundtables, events, the different ways that one can engage in the Howard Tech Council. It's free, but you do need to register online because, once again, it's capacity controlled. And I would like to just follow up with some of Walt's comments. Dr. Basu is fantastic. I wouldn't miss that for the world. And I will be attending his procurement fair. They do a great job. And I believe you're going to be attending our EDA annual meeting next week, right?
Right, next Wednesday evening with Seth Goldman, Honest Tea.
That'll be fantastic. You know, so as a director within the Howard County Economic Development Authority, I would be absolutely remiss if I didn't mention that. It's going to be held at Turf Valley. Seth Goldman, Honest Tea's the keynote. It's one of the premier events in Howard County all year. Come and mix and mingle with 300 of your closest friends and enjoy a great night of fun and celebration.
Yeah, last year I saw a coach there.
Yeah,
Coach Williams.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised how good he really was. So I guess that was kind of a locker room speech for non-jocks, but it was cool. It was a great event. And a nice venue, a very nice venue.
Turf Valley's beautiful.
So, yeah. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me. Patrick Wynn of the Howard Tech Council, howardtechcouncil.org, and Walt Townsend of the Baltimore-Washington Corridor Chamber of Commerce, bwcc.org. Guys, thanks for taking the drive into town.
Thanks for the opportunity, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
You've been listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This is not my day job. If you need to come up to speed on LinkedIn, my training is second to none. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net. And remember, you haven't been everywhere until you've been on AmTower Off Center.
You've been listening to AmTower Off Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.